DW.
Like most of you probably, I'm completely dependent on my smartphone, and it, along with billions of other devices, is dependent on a range of rare earth metals. These less common elements are needed for things like magnets, batteries, and microchips in all kinds of modern tech. Hello?
The new technologies have basically initiated the new kind of like gold rush. And many of the new technologies, including, for example, wind turbines, the magnets of the wind turbines, they need tons and tons and tons of rare earth elements.
Andrea Koschinski is a professor of geoscience at Jacobs University in Bremen. When she's not in her office, you'll find her on a scientific vessel overseeing submarines exploring the seafloor. Several kilometers beneath the waves, this is the new frontier for mining companies in search of metals that could soon be in short supply onshore. Koschinski is trying to find out what that means for life at the bottom of the sea.
Basically, you could describe them as black potatoes. They look a little bit like coal, but they have nothing to do with coal because they have no carbon. They are made of manganese oxides.
Koschinski shows me some pictures from the seabed, dotted with thousands of small potato-sized black rocks known as nodules.
So you would mine the whole nodule and then try to extract the metals of interest.
And would it be as easy as picking potatoes once you're down there?
In principle, yes. If you have the technology to really move a machine at 4,000 meter water depth in rather soft sediment, it is still associated with high cost in the beginning. But once these investments have been done and some prototypes of well-functioning machines exist, I think it should be possible from both technological and financial side.
Some deep-sea mining machines have already been built. Several countries have bought permits for deep-sea mineral prospecting in a massive 1.2 million square kilometre area in the eastern Pacific. Mining hasn't started yet, but environmentalists are alarmed by the potential impact on ecosystems.
We won't be able to stop it, but we will be able to monitor it in a careful way and make sure that everything is properly done.
Lawrence Thompson works alongside Professor Andrea Koschinski at the Jacobs University.
They are on the seafloor, work for 1 year, do the baseline study. Then you have.
He's been studying the impact on the seafloor when heavy machines with caterpillar tracks scurry back and forth to collect the metal-rich nodules. Using a robot, his team has studied what they call the snow, tiny particles that whirl up when the seabed is disrupted, and how they affect the fragile creatures living on the seafloor.
Hydrothermal vents. Astonishingly, we now know that they hold as much life as tropical rainforests.
British naturalist David Attenborough in the new BBC series Blue Planet 2, describing the complex ecosystems around so-called hydrothermal vents. These deep-sea chimney-like structures spew out minerals straight from the Earth's core. These two are prospective mining grounds. Still, Andrea Koschinski at Jacobs University is less worried about the impact of deep-sea mining in areas like this.
The ecosystems are really focused here around the vents. These organisms are adapted to relatively quick and drastic changes. So they live in a toxic environment anyways. These systems are hit by volcanic eruptions and a new vent system comes up. So these vent systems are very dynamic and probably they can recover relatively quickly.
Here you see a kind of sea anemone. These white spots here might be something like brittle stars.
The first thing what we still have to do is make an inventory. What is out there? So this is one of the fears that we destroy something we have no clue about.
Jens Greinert is head of the Deep Sea Monitoring Research Unit at the Geomar Helmholtz Center for Ocean Research in Kiel. He too works with mapping the areas of our planet which we know the least about and the possible impact of mining there. Much is still unknown, he admits, yet he remains relatively optimistic. If, and it's still an if, deep sea mining takes off big time, at least we will probably have done what we can to prepare and minimize the damage to the environment, he says.
Maybe the first time in humankind we think about the potential environment before actually somebody starts getting resources out of the ground. On land, nobody asked. With oil and gas, nobody asked before. All this regulation has been established afterwards, after a lot of damage has been made. And now we do it jointly together before something is happening.
The world's first major deep-sea mining program is set to begin in the next 2 years in the deep waters off Papua New Guinea. There, a new dedicated deep-sea mining company wants to start looking for copper, zinc, gold and silver. Environmentalists and the mining industry will be monitoring their success, or lack of it, closely. Lars Bevanger, DW, Bremen.
DW.